This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water. Just in case if stuff gets too fire, I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
What's up? Football Friday. Mike Shope and the Bulldog. Thanks for listening. Football Friday brought to you by Cellino Law. Car crash? Call Cellino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. So this will be the rare Sunday slate. We call it a slate over here. Like all the games, the schedule. The cool word is the slate. Call it the slate. This will be the rare Sunday slate where I don't see any of it.
You got...
I'm a little bit uncomfortable.
You got lacrosse obligations?
I do.
Yeah.
On the road.
That's tough.
I won't be home until at the earliest halftime of the night game. On Sunday. But I was thinking, like, if you are obligated, let's say, to miss a Sunday NFL slate, think of all, like, the cool teams that aren't playing. Bills, Chiefs, Bengals, if you want, Dolphins, if you want, Minnesota, San Francisco, the Rams. The Rams are watchable.
Sure.
Even Seattle. None of these teams is playing Sunday afternoon. I mean, there are other games. If you're into Jacksonville and Chicago, and if you're into Tennessee and some of these other teams, you know, it's a great day. I don't mind when this happens. I watch it anyway. I watch all of it. But
there are exactly two games that look watchable to me on that schedule. I just looked at it for the Friday. I haven't really paid a lot of attention to it until you just brought it up. It's Friday. The Bills don't play until Monday. So, Washington Baltimore sounds fantastic to me. I'd be really interested to watch that. I've not had a chance to sit. And I don't know that I will. I haven't looked at what's available to us here without the Sunday ticket. So I don't know what the games are yet.
I'll get that for you.
But I've not been able to sit with anything Washington, with Jaden Daniels. So just highlights so far. And whatever, dipping in and out with Red Zone when the opportunity arises. That's one game that I'd be curious about competitively. Pittsburgh and the Raiders looks like a game I'd want to watch because it looks like 1972. So that could get my attention. But Detroit and Dallas is pretty juicy. And I would guess that that's the national game at 4:25.
Yes.
So that looks pretty good. But yeah, it's not a great looking schedule. Even the Sunday night game, Bengals Giants is
I think locally we have Washington Baltimore, that's Nance and Romo.
Awesome.
And then Browns Eagles will be on, I think, on Fox.
All right.
So yeah, I mean, it's always good enough, but
yep.
It's not like it's loaded here.
Yeah.
And if you think about it in terms of the AFC and the Bills, like you've no Chiefs, no Dolphins. The AFC North, three of the four teams play NFC opponents. The Jets obviously are on Monday night against the Bills. Houston and New England is something. The AFC South games, I guess. Denver and the Chargers, maybe for the wild card.
I don't know.
I don't know. Like,
New England's a little interesting because of May playing, so that could be certainly a curiosity. But I think you picked a good Sunday to miss.
I do too.
Is what I'm saying. Yeah. I think you picked a good Sunday to miss.
And it's still nice out.
I don't remember. This happened to me about a month ago. I think we're about a month out from it was after it was the Bills week 2 game, and now we're at week 6. So Borderland that Sunday, you know, I had it on. I had like Red Zone on, but I had to just read more than ever about what happened on Sunday, because even though I was looking at it, I was distracted every 40 seconds, and like I wasn't really watching. So
I am the worst though. I mean, I will be like you that day, unable to sit on the couch, you know, with a beverage and right. just sit there all day. Like that dream scenario is not available to me on Sunday, but I'll be on my phone every whistle.
Right.
Like, right. I use the ESPN Fantasy app for the scores and the play-by-play, and just like am constantly, I might not miss a play. In any game.
Right.
As often as it is that I look at that.
You said you won't be home until like halftime of the night game. So you're it sounds like where
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, okay. So you'll be driving during the 4 o'clock, end of the 4 o'clock window, maybe a little bit?
Maybe.
I mean, Fubo can do the trick, but I mean, you're driving. But,
I have all the games in the car.
Okay, right. Okay.
So 6 to 10.
Yeah.
Maybe is the drive.
Yeah.
Something right. like that.
Yeah, you'll catch up.
I'll be fine.
Right.
So it's not until Monday night, but Bills and Jets. It's a huge game for the Bills. It's a bigger game for the Jets. I look at it as when you're playing in the division, the home games are the ones that you really have to have. Like if this game were here, wouldn't it feel bigger? Wouldn't it feel more important that the Bills not lose?
Sure. Yeah, because you at least know you've got them coming back here later.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that and you've not had a home division game yet.
No, right. So I think of it like that the Jets have made, they're at home, they've made the coaching change, they have made the big move here. And so to lose out of that in your own stadium would be pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're 2 games back, having lost the home meeting, and I don't know what it would look like. I mean, it's not over at that point, but you do a big thing here if the Bills, if they were to win.
And that, I know it's not the same. The stakes are different for New York because of everything you just said. The dramatic firing of the coach, new play caller, like all of it, it just, you know, they are treating this like they have to have this game. And the Bills don't have to have it, but the opportunity to do what beating them in this spot with all of that taken into account would mean for you and them makes it a big game for the Bills. Like it you're not saying it doesn't matter, like they should treat it like a throwaway at all, but I think the stakes are pretty high. You have a chance to really damage, even, you know, not just with math, but like, you know, vibes wise, if you batter Rodgers around and beat them however you do and come out of there 2 games up with a head-to-head win already and with how they've looked already, I mean, it might just feel like, what are we doing here for the Jets? Like, this isn't going to work. You know, we tried the thing. We did the thing that we thought we could do to change this season around for us. And we did not get the result we wanted, and now we're staring up at them, and we're further behind, and who knows? Like, what if Rodgers doesn't get it together? That could be where, if there is animosity toward him for Salah getting booted like he did, then that starts to creep in, and that, so you could really, I think, damage them beyond just the 2-game lead.
It's the play calling change too,
right? I mentioned that.
You know, yeah, okay. That they've also doubled down almost on this game's importance. It's not only for this week, but still, like, they really, they're acting like this is 5 red circles.
Like they got to have it, right. Right.
Doesn't really mean much, but I did see that Rodgers' passer rating against the Bills is lower than it is against any other franchise for his career. And last year's 4 plays wouldn't have a lot to do with that.
Probably not, no. But
that goes down as a win for him.
Yeah.
So he's 2-2 in the rest of his career against the Bills, and 74.9, 5 touchdown passes, 4 picks. Like, they've really done better against him than anybody else. Not that many games, but that's something that you might find interesting. I've decided, so if the Bills lose here, then it gets really tense because the Jets maybe found something and they'll have the same record. You've lost 3 straight in that scenario, and not only have the Bills lost these 2, they've not lost them impressively. Like, they really just offensively look kind of lost the last 2 weeks. So if that happens again, all the more scrutiny and the questions about just like what they're really capable of this year. If the Bills win the kind of game that I think it's going to be, win or lose, where it's sort of, it's defensive and what the total is 41. So that's, you know, 2.5. So 21-19 kind of score, a game like that, a game like last year's was. If they win a game like that, I don't think all that goes away.
No.
I think I would say the technical way I would want to put it is how it would feel is I would say I would feel pretty okay. How do you like that? I think if the Bills win a low-scoring game by a field goal at the Jets, it'll be a big sigh of relief, and I'll feel pretty okay. But probably not. Tons different.
Right. It'll feel all the stuff we have already said about the 2-game lead would be there, and the opportunity to demoralize the Jets, and that's substantial. I think like that could put you in the spot where you feel like, okay,
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Who really is going to come get me in this division here, right? The schedule does lighten up here. As daunting as it looked when the schedule came out, the fact that if you handle the Jets and you've got them again coming to your place, you've still got Miami again, you've got New England twice, Indy is out there. It's not as hard. Look, Tennessee a week from Sunday at home. So you'll have done something to them that could really help you. But the questions will still be there. Like, do I have an offense that can, you know, do the things that they're used to doing? Can I get in some kind of a groove here, or am I gonna, you know, maybe coast through Tennessee? We'll see about Seattle. Their defense doesn't look great right now at all, to say the least, in Miami and Indy. But then, you know, KC and San Francisco are looming. Like, what do I look like against a good team again? So those questions aren't going away if you win a game like you're describing, you know, like a tough, hard-fought game, which is what you probably should expect.
I mean,
against the Jets,
even at full strength. But this was not, Sal mentioned this yesterday. He tried to give everybody the heads up. This was not going to change today, the injury report with respect to Shakir and Cook, and it didn't, because they didn't really practice. So he's like, it's going to be the same tomorrow. Saturday, like, often McDermott goes on Sal's show and rules guys out. Didn't do that today. It's a day away.
Right.
Day earlier. So tomorrow would be that day. Even with those guys, I mean, what did last year look like? These Jet games tend to be really difficult for Allen. So with Shakir and with Cook, is that much different than without? Without, though, especially Shakir, we saw last week how the Bills couldn't do anything middle of the field, almost gave up on that, and really just, I mean, 9 for 30.
Right, yeah.
So he's been their number one guy, and if he misses again, what should happen here?
You could roll your eyes all you want about him being this indispensable part, but, I mean, he was, the two lousy games they've had have come with him playing injured and then not playing at all. So, I mean, that can be circumstantial. I don't know. I mean, he did finish the Baltimore game and did make one big play in that game, but he was not the same. And I think we can take, you know, take the fact that he has barely practiced in the 2 weeks since that game and since the injury, that he got through that game, but he was not himself. So they've had two really rocky games without him really healthy. So his playing means a lot, and I'm not optimistic at all about that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the extra day will be the magic for him. But yeah, they're in very tough without him in the slot as sort of a security blanket, and even, you know, someone who's heady enough to recognize Allen. It would like, hey, he probably would like it if I would run behind these guys. He'll get it to me. He goes and does that in the Baltimore game. Not every guy on this roster knows Allen that well yet. So yeah, I think they're in tough without him, especially Cook. To me, you know, he's been nice. I'm not denying that. He's been scoring touchdowns for them, and, you know, catching the ball and hanging on to it and making plays. But I feel like I can get by with a different running back.
Has he ever missed a game? No.
I don't think so. Cook?
No. Like, even as a rookie, he didn't play a lot right away. But, yeah, 16 games that year. Is that Hamlin? So they played one fewer game?
Yeah.
And then last year, 17 games and 5 this year. So it'd be their first time without him, especially relevant, you know, in the lead role that he's right. had. Yeah. I don't mind that much either, but it's just one more
right.
different thing. I do not like this setup at all for them. Without those guys, just what the Jets are, with all the emotion that would come from what's happened to them, their corners, the past in this rivalry, they've made it hard on Allen. They've got great corners. And my guys can't get open anyway. So, and I think in terms of the Jets' offense, Rodgers is everybody's focus. Breece Hall, the last 2 weeks, has done nothing. Like, they can't get anything from their running game, and anybody can run on the Bills, like, right now.
Yeah, you'd think that they would have a mind to try to get that established.
Yes, like, new play caller, mm-hmm. figuring out new ways, new schemes to get their running back going, because he's a huge part of their offense. The thesis on the Jets being good was more about him and Garrett Wilson. You know how many targets Garrett Wilson had against Minnesota? 23. One guy. 23 targets, literally, against the Vikings in that game. So the narrative seems to be like they're not on the same page, and there were throws in that game where that was evident.
Yeah.
That seemed right. But still, like, he ended up with a monster stat line, and he's super good. So I would think Hall, though, is, if I'm the Jets, this is where I want to really try to get home, is with him. I mean, he's a home run hitter, and they're not getting, like, he's getting hit at the line of scrimmage
right.
on his runs and getting nothing out of them. He had 4 yards against Denver, and I don't know what last week's number was, but it wasn't great. So I think that there are a lot of things about this matchup, both sides, that have me leaning Jets. And only some of it is emotion, because the Bills should have plenty of motivation themselves.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, they've gotten smacked 2 weeks in a row. Well, I mean, they didn't get smacked last week, but they lost, and their offense was inept. So, yeah, I don't mean to discount whatever the Jets might be feeling. I'm not sure I'm ready to buy it. I'm going to need to see that they're really all together. And, you know, you make that, how do you declare that? You know, how do they play? You know, does it go well? To me, it's very possible they're still disjointed and messed up. But they did make a dramatic move. What the Bills are going to have to do in this game, and I mean, this might start sounding like a broken record, but I think I would have felt this way about this matchup anyways, even if the Bills had been looking good. Like, if they'd won one of these last two and were rolling in here 4-1, I'd be thinking the Jets probably feel like they can handle the Bills a lot of the time, the majority of the time, man on man with those corners. Sure, they're missing their nickel corner. He hasn't practiced, Michael Carter. But, you know, I don't have my slot receiver. So, you know, that might be a push at this point. But those two dudes on the outside, I'm locking down, and I am messing with Allen. I'm faking blitzes. I'm blitzing. I'm bringing, because I'm not scared of you. You're gonna have to show me you can beat me. And you haven't been able to beat Houston. You haven't been able to beat Baltimore. And these two corners, to me, are better than anybody on either of those teams. So good luck. You're just going to have to prove that you can do it. And, you know, hit some plays out of man coverage, beat the blitz. I mean, Allen has I don't want to say he's made his career beating the blitz, but he has been excellent. You want to do that? I'm going to rely on my guys, and I'm going to get away from the guy that's maybe unblocked, and then I'm going to beat you. And that is not happening for a variety of reasons. He's been inaccurate at times when those opportunities are there, when guys have won, but a lot of the time guys aren't winning.
That's another one where Diggs would know they would have been on the same page,
right?
You know, and Coleman is definitely not there with him.
No, as evidence, you've got a hot read that Allen throws at Coleman and it hits him in the back of the head.
That would be like the worst thing to happen as a receiver, I think.
I think so.
The pass hits you in the helmet?
Yeah.
Or is just maybe off the hands worse? That's the only thing maybe that's worse is off the hands?
At least you knew the ball was coming.
Okay.
And you made an attempt to catch it.
Off the helmet.
Off the helmet. Off the back of the helmet. Like, face mask is maybe worse. Like, if you miss it so badly that it hits you right in the helmet.
It sticks in the face mask.
Right? Like the puck in Owen Power's skate last night. Yeah. Like if that happens, that's worse. But
and you just crumple to the ground.
Not being aware.
The ball right? Stuck in your helmet. That would be a bad look.
But not being aware enough to turn around and hit you in the back of the helmet is bad. That's bad. Bad look.
That does seem bad. Well, we'll see what happens Monday night. We've got all day Monday to talk about it, too. We will definitely get around the league today. Coming up next, that starts, Sam Panayotovich will join us, as he does every Friday, from BetQL Daily. We'll talk about this matchup and much more around the NFL. Paul and Sal as well, and also Dennis Williams today. Many of you will remember Dennis having been in the Buffalo sports media for many years, including some time working evenings here with us. And I talked to Josh Mora like a month or so ago, maybe a little longer ago. He and Dennis host a podcast. I was a guest of theirs. It's called The Back Nine, about life, you know, after a certain point, the back nine of your life. But we'll talk to Dennis about the podcast, but also more his observations of just sort of the Buffalo sports scene then and now. In some ways, it's different. The Bills are consistently good, which had not been the case, as you know, for many years. The Sabres are the Sabres. I mean, they're so the Sabres. The Sabres are so the Sabres
right
now. It was
quintessential Saberness last night. Like, welcome to the first game of the season where you're like, boy, they really deserve better. I liked how they played a lot. And just, you know, do that, you're going to win 7 out of 10 games you play that way. Okay, good luck doing that 7 out of 10 games. But, you know, that's the space on the board from last night.
I guess tomorrow we can only hope they get run over and win 4-2.
Sure.
That would even it up.
Great.
Even things up.
Yeah.
All right, so busy show. We'll have picks, of course, as we always do on Football Fridays as well. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Now it's time for a break. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.